from the stock market floor to your laptop, we are Voice America Business.
This broadcast is for information purposes only and should not be regarded as a recommendation or an offer to sell or solicitation of an offer to buy securities or investments mentioned herein. This broadcast is the opinion of Jordan Kimmel. At the time of this broadcast, a member of Mr. Kimmel's household owns shares of the company discussed in this program. Additional information on topics discussed herein available upon request.
This is Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Profitable Investing is a show that will take you through the ever-changing world of investing for a profit. Now here's the host of Profitable Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Profitable Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. We have a couple of exceptional guests lined up, including one of my favorite, the chairman of the board of New York City, Bob Spira, going to weigh in on the international markets and weigh in on, I bet he's going to want to talk some politics. And we're going to have Karen Berg come on later because I need some help myself in this. My elevator speech stinks. How to get to the point, loud and clear, five steps on what you say, what you mean, and get what you want. But, folks, this is such an important time in the market. I have to admit I was really looking forward to today's show. And not only today's show, but I think what I'm talking about is so important. An hour doesn't give me enough time, but let's just dig right in here. Lately, I have been hosting a couple of webinars, and as technology continues to advance, we're able to get the message out louder and clearer, and we've been hosting these webinars where we're showing a PowerPoint, bringing some of the most important slides together with some commentary. And if you haven't heard or if you haven't been involved with one yet, we've been able to post them on our website. Come to the website, watch the webinar, and give me a phone call. But a couple of really incredibly important points that I want to get to with regarding to the stock market. The stock market often trades on psychology and emotion, and only partially on fundamentals. Folks, we are dealing with the most emotional market, the most volatile swings of all time. This is all about emotion right now. It's got very little to do with anything else. And again, an article I just finished for Dick Davis Digest yesterday. What I'm also mentioning is the last tail of this bear market has been created by margin calls to the most leveraged accounts out there. They are selling when they want to be buying. But as the public pulls in their horns and asks for their money back from mutual funds and hedge funds, and these funds, some of the hedge funds are levered to begin with, they must sell when they want to buy. This will come out in the future. Now, when we look at investor sentiment, we know over time that when the public is hungry and quacking to be fed, they're buying into the highest valuations, they're very bullish, the sky looks blue, and then they turn around in a year or two later in a bear market saying, Wall Street suckered me back in, how could I be so stupid, you can never trust these guys. Well, folks, there's more cash on the sidelines. And the smartest money, in my opinion, is figuring out where to get in, not where to get out. And even the individual investor has so much brown in his underwear at this point. If he hasn't sold by now, he's not going to. This is the most cash on the sideline combined with absolutely negative sentiment. This is how bull markets get created. We've talked a little bit before about something called the VIX or the Volatility Index, and normally this thing trades at 8 or 10 or 12 during the most complacent times, like last year in October when we saw a bull confirmed Dow Jones, Dow Theory market, a new high on the net, a new high on utilities, transports, and the Dow Index. We saw very low VIX. We saw very low cash on the sidelines. Now what we see is a market that has already fallen more than at any period other than the Great Depression. Since there's been a Federal Reserve, since there's been a 50% margin rule for the public, the market has never fallen this far. The valuations are at 20-year lows, and people are now preparing for a crash. The same way in the beginning of the year, all you heard was that the dollar would go lower and lower and lower and lower. The dollar is now the single strongest currency in the world. We heard earlier in the year that oil would never stop going up. It would go up and up and up. We'd have $200 oil. The market would be broken. We now have $61 oil. Oil has already fallen more than 50% from the top peak last year. And now we're hearing about lower and lower and lower oil. Folks, if you listen to the papers and you listen to the public, you are subject to be one of them. Don't do it. Now, let's go a little bit further, because here's where I think it gets, you know, even more interesting. What we have talked about was this kind of global, and I've talked very adamantly about a global society that is eating better, eating more, not in China, but in every inch of the globe. And we're talking about, I'm asking in this piece, by the way, if you haven't seen it, go onto Google, go onto Images, and look at Hiroshima these days, okay? Look at Thailand, look at Malaysia, look at Vietnam. This is not about Singapore, okay? This is not about just Beijing being built up before the Olympics. This is my opinion. Now, we're going to bring on the chairman of the board. He's going to talk about some things that I don't know about. And what's very, very important to me is to keep an open mind, to keep thinking, but we are doing an incredible research project that's going to be attached to my next book. And the next book is all about selectivity in individual companies. And folks, we are not out buying GE. We are not out buying some of the larger brand names that you know about. Let me just throw out one simple small idea. We came across a company that earnings and revenues and margins and cash flow were going up so fast that when we called the company to ask why, they said, well, about 30 years ago, we had some engineers decide that special forces, which were hiding in the bushes for days on end, they needed to send back secure messages. And we invented something called text messaging over cell phones, okay, 30 years ago. Well, as you well know, text messaging, even grandma's doing it these days here in the United States. And this particular microcap company earns money on one quarter of every text message currently being sent throughout the United States. And the fact that the stock came an all-time high just last month doesn't surprise us. But the fact is, this is a very unknown company. Oh, now, there's the little cap out there turning into a small cap, which will soon turn into a mid cap, which is simply dominating the field of home nursing. And as hospital costs go higher and higher, and the population keeps growing and aging, we can't afford to have people sitting in hospitals for too long. Women are discharged a few hours after they give birth almost. So this is this whole concept of home health care, absolutely the future. And as we look at Ford and General Motors to figure out the health of our country, it's just an absolute mistake. The same way I talk about Pan Am and Western Union and Bethlehem Steel going the way of the dinosaur, so will, in fact, many of these great companies people are averaging down into. They may not exist in a couple of years, but what is important is we've recently, in the last period of time, gone from 3 billion people inhabiting our planet to 7 billion people. They need to eat, They want to live. And I think my time is up already. I'm hearing some commercial come in. We're not done yet, but I think I'm forced to go to commercial, folks. I need hours here. I need a platform, and I'm just getting started. What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to hear from the chairman of the board, one of the most experienced, not only investors, but politically connected individuals in the country. We're bringing on Bob Spira from Chapman Spira. Stick with us after this quick break. We'll be right back on Voice America Business and Profitable Investing. Stick with us, folks.
Money, money. Up-to-date business and financial news. Money, money. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Magnet Investment Group, LLC, is based in Randolph, New Jersey, and is a registered investment advisory firm providing wealth management for individuals and institutions. Magnet's investment strategy combines aspects of growth, value, and momentum investing to achieve superior long-term risk-adjusted returns. The group applies their proprietary Magnet stock selection process to a variety of client-specified benchmarks and risk tolerance levels. The group is led by Jordan Kimmel with over 20 years' experience in the securities field.
Self-leadership is more important than corporate leadership. In the hustle and bustle world we live in, we need to be reminded that in all failures and successes, we are the common denominators. Each week, let Daniel Gutierrez help bring you the tools you need to manage self-leadership, resulting in self-success. Make your mark in your industry. Make sure you listen to Right Here, Right Now. Brought to you by Waste Management. Every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
The bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Now, here's the host of Profitable Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
And, folks, welcome back to Profitable Investing. We wanted to make this segment a little extra long as we're bringing on the chairman of the board of New York City, Bob Spira, chairman of Chapman Spira. Been on our guest before, and you've asked for him to come back on. So, Bob, thanks so much for joining us day after election or so, and a lot going on. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure, Jordan. It's always good to be on your show.
All right. So, Bob, let me just say that I tend to be probably more bullish than others. I talk about a global expanding economy with people eating better. But there's something in the air that maybe I don't understand. What I'd like to do is to offer you, because of your experience both in political world and the international trade market, tell me what I'm missing about why all of a sudden we went from boats full everywhere to 90% decline in the dry shipping rate, and what we're now hearing is the worst global environment, financial environment of all time. And before I let you go, Bob, I want to point out, last time you were on, the financial markets were still glued. You came on, you talk about the auction market and municipal securities failing for the first time ever, and to watch your ass right here. I didn't listen carefully enough, so let me dial in and listen now.
You going to listen to me this time?
Well, I always listen to you, but I have to go my own way sometimes. But nobody knows more about what's going on behind the scenes. We talked early in the morning about China a little bit. I want you to just take it and run with it.
Well, let's start out with the election, because that changes a lot of things and changes policy, and it's going to change business to a large degree. Let me just hit a couple points to watch out for, that some of which aren't going to be helpful. The prime one that you'll see very early on in Obama's taking over the office will be the fact that he will be replacing illegal immigrants with American out of work people. While that may sound like a nice thing to do, the Republican attitude towards that was the fact that the immigrants work for less. The Americans will be probably getting minimum wage or higher. And so the cost to industry is going to go up dramatically. And we're not producing a lot right now. We've turned back into a semi-farm economy. He also favors taking away subsidies from large corporations, in the farming area. So you're both going to take away that additional money, and you're going to be raising your prices on commodities to some degree. So this non-inflationary spiral, what we've gotten hit is a kind of a reverse curve that came up and then came down again with inflation. It'll pop back up a little bit, and I'm not sure how much it can be controlled. So I think you're going to see a major change there. We're not sure who he's going to bring in. That'll have a lot to do with what else happens. But I'm positive that you will see much stronger regulation. These markets were deregulated for so long, and our Federal Reserve chief just kind of thought, well, everything will turn out for the best, and now we're left with this mess. There's no quick fix to this, as we found out. But partially regulation will give more assurance to the markets that somebody's going to be looking after it. The SEC has been out to lunch. Federal Reserve has been out to lunch. The Treasury and the President hasn't been there. So that's fairly typical of that sort of administration, and the Democrats keep their oar in the water a little bit and to protect the public, supposedly. So that's the difference between the two parties. So I don't want to mention a lot more on the election, but I don't think that there's going to be an earth-shaking change in things, which many people expect. They had their differences, obviously. But I think it's going to be kind of business as usual. I do think, though, that your auto industry will get a subsidy if they last that long. In other words, if they're still in business by the time Obama takes office, I think you'll see a lot more help from the government. However, at the same time, Obama's going to be very pro-union. So those things kind of offset each other. One helps and one hurts. So we'll see how all that turns out. I think he's also very much for a energy policy. He's into atomic, I think, more than historically presidents have been. I think he wants to set a formal schedule of what we're going to do and when. I think he's much stronger on carbon emissions. And I believe that he would be a little more strong relative to not allowing the kind of drilling that the Republicans have been trying to open up in Alaska. So, again, it's a mixed bag of various things. So that's how I see the changes. Not a lot of difference, but it is going to be something that we're all going to have to live with suddenly. It's like all of a sudden getting the flu or getting well. We'll
right.
See.
Well, let me ask you this, and I think your read on the politics, very few people have your insight, but go back to, you know, you mentioned an energy policy. Right now I'm looking at my screen. I'm at work. We're about to break $60 on the downside to oil. And a year ago, not a year ago, months ago, we're at 147. We're talking about going to 200. What it was is this wasn't enough of it to go around, and all of a sudden, Saudi is now cutting production to support price. We're hearing about demand destruction, and this is true not only, of course, in oil, but it's almost in every consumable product. So where did everybody go?
Well, but it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's like a bouncing ball, and it's looking for a median. It's looking to find that place where supply and demand equal each other. And the price went way ahead of demand. before, and now the price is going way under where the supply would meet, or the demand would, and demand will come back. But in the meantime, what's really happening is there's a cutback in exploration, and nowhere has a cutback been bigger on the expensive drilling properties. And those would be your shale projects in Alberta, Canada, your other than oil products. You've seen also a terrible drop in alternative fuels, which has helped, of course, agricultural prices come down. We're living in a world where we're going to have to balance goodness and badness, and it's in the eyes of the beholden. What's the better thing? Is it better to have a lower corn price and not a lot of synthetic fuel, or is it a better thing to cut our oil usage and have corn go up? You know,
right.
So,
right. Let me ask this. I need to get to a positive if I could find one. You've also brought something up to me personally that nobody has said, nobody has written. And let me start the question like this. Oil's coming down, but you figure, you know, why would coal come down to this level? Why would solar come down to this level? These stocks are not down 30%, they're down 70% right here. Now, part of what I believe and what I said at the top of the show is that this is illiquidity-driven market. This is a deleveraging, and people are being forced to sell some securities they'd want to buy instead. Now, you've talked to me about the establishment of a derivative exchange that may bring back liquidity, and maybe what we're talking about here is not just consumption, but a short-term liquidity issue, and tell me again if I'm wrong.
Well, that's a whole lot to digest. There will be a derivative exchange, and the reason that will happen is that this Lehman mess is just not going to get cleared up very quickly. And as long as you're dealing with derivatives, you're dealing with individual products that have their own contract. Thus, there's no similarity particularly between various derivatives. It's not like a share of stock where all common shares have the same voting rights, the same this, the same that. Not true of a derivative. Each one is a separate contract. So it was very difficult to have a common market for unlike things. In the future, what will happen is derivatives will be written to a scale, a certain order. Then this will happen by regulation. And that there will be an ability to securitize derivatives because there will be a similarity instead of insuring them, which is what we were doing. We were taking these packages of unlike products. And these silly little insurance companies were guaranteeing that they'd be good. Well, that was the most ridiculous thing in the world. There were no two that were alike. And you're taking a package of $1 billion worth of this stuff and getting a AAA bond on it. It was beyond comprehension.
And then margining it 30 times to get the return.
Rich Lehman was 32 or 33, I think, at their level. But today, that's all changing because the brokers are becoming banks, and the banks have their own rules on what your leverage can be, and you're looking at 10, 11, you know, as maybe even a max. And so,
right, but... But see, maybe I'm wrong. I was thinking this new derivative market. I know you're from the Chicago Board of Trade, and I'm thinking this might be a whole new revenue source for the financial industry and clear up the liquidity and get loans and trading, and that's kind of what I thought in my mind.
And you're right, but what you have to also think about is these people love the fact that they didn't have to keep their derivatives on their balance sheet. They didn't have to report them. And so what you had is opaqueness, which is what the banks liked. If we knew what's still hidden back in those books on the crap that these people have written over the years that they haven't written off under any normal GAAP circumstances, we wouldn't be viewing banks the way we do. We wouldn't view J.P. Morgan as the strongest bank in the world. They've got more derivatives outstanding than any other bank. Wells Fargo's got more home loans. So these are the two banks that have kind of set the standard here because their earnings have held up. They've done some good things, and maybe they have nice people running them or tough people. But these aren't any best-in-class kind of places. If they, you examine them thoroughly, you'd find the same problems there as you find everywhere else.
Right. And again, Bob, you were saying this first. I guess, in the last couple minutes here, what I'm thinking of is when we went from a bull-confirmed market last year, we didn't know we had all these problems. Well, we know we have a lot of problems. We've now seen the market fall greater than any period since there has been a Federal Reserve. We're seeing commodities down enormously, and I'm thinking with this amount of pessimism, this supposed amount of money in the cash on the sidelines, we're almost through to the downside, but I think I'm probably early, and I think I may actually be the only one I'm talking to that's actually bullish here.
Well, your signs are bullish and your technical signs, but I find the technical analysis is made to be wrong. In other words, it's going to be wrong once in a while. And although it may be right 9 out of 10 times, history repeats itself, but it repeats itself in different fashions. And some of your recessions are longer than others. I think that the world has learned how to put back the pieces quicker this time around. We know all the rules that are going to make things work, and we've applied them in the United States fairly quickly. It was tough medicine. It had to be sold and advertised, but I think Paulson, along with Bernanke, were fairly effective in dealing with it, especially in compared to what happened in other countries. I think England was right there with us, but France wasn't there. Germany isn't there yet. And they've got their own problems that they still have to deal with because they haven't solved them yet. And those will affect us. And I think that the problems of the fact that China's financing this massive expansion we did. I mean, we buy their products, send them money, they buy treasury bonds, then they want to sell our treasury bonds because they need money and their economy is slowing down, and now you reverse the product. What happens in this whole big grand scheme when the tide goes out and there's nothing there? And that's what's going to happen here. China will be pulling money back. Russia's had to pull money back. As a matter of fact, all Russia's internal loans are coming due, and they don't have enough money to cover them. So their stock market makes our stock market look like that we're in the roaring 20s.
Right, Bob. Let me say this. We're going to run out of time. There's investment banking still done. I know you have your own website, and I call you the chairman of the board of New York City. I know you don't want to be inundated with calls and inquiries. If you want to give your website out or your contact information,
on the website. It's Chapman Spira, and it's one word, chapmanspira.com. And you can look at all our rantings and ravings there, and we do a lot of it.
Right. Well, I know you're on target, and Bob, I want to bring you on more often because people like to scratch the surface and then they get lazy, and other people like to dig a little further and get to the truth. And I consider you one of the wise men and a great friend, and I really appreciate your time today.
Jordan, it's always a pleasure, and I hope to see you soon.
You definitely will. Folks, you're on Voice America Business. We need commercials. We got to go to the sponsor. Bob, thanks again for joining us. We're going to be right back with more profitable investing following this quick break.
Money, money, up-to-date business and financial news. Money, money, call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Everyone faces conflict at home, at work, in the community, in the world. This show is about how to fix those conflicts with practical tips and techniques. Doug Knoll brings to the internet airwaves the first of its kind, a show that teaches peaceful resolution to life's daily battles. That's Fix Your Conflicts, broadcasting live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
Our team of investment professionals, supported by our quantitative magnet stock selection process, is committed to the goal of providing excess market returns to clients around the world. We target the fastest growing companies that are still trading at a discount to their intrinsic value. Companies in this category are likely to enjoy dynamic earnings growth. We call these companies magnets. They tend to simulate investor response and create powerful returns. The value-added benefit of magnets' quantitative analysis and portfolio management has been extraordinary. After ranking all eligible companies, we only buy less than the top 1% of the companies we monitor. The first step involves quantitative analysis of individual companies. Often special situation companies with a market niche are captured by our screening process. Our strategy is intended to take advantage of our global economy while achieving long-term capital appreciation.
I'm Paul Hopkins, CEO of Farmers Insurance, and a proud sponsor of March of Dimes' premier walking event, March for Babies, formerly known as Walk America. More babies begin healthy lives because of March of Dimes' research and programs. And with farmers' support, we can do even more for families all over America. One day, all babies will be born healthy, but we have to walk to get there. Join the March for Babies. Sign up at marchforbabies.org.
The bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Now here's the host of Profitable Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
And folks, welcome back to Profitable Investing. We're going to switch out of investing for a moment and get into some communication with one of the top in the business, Karen Berg, the author. Her new book, Loud and Clear, CEO of Comcore Strategies, and really featured basically everywhere from the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, CNBC. Karen, thanks so much for joining us today. All righty. Well, it's really my pleasure. I tell you something, when I heard about your book and I saw it, I'm teased that despite all my media work, I don't even have a good elevator pitch down. But I'm holding your book. It's one I'm going to read cover to cover. And what I want you to do, if you could, before we get into your message, we always like to make sure we know who we're talking to. And I gave you a nice introduction, but if you wouldn't mind, from your own words, give us a little bit of your career path and where you've been. I see some great endorsements on the cover of your book. So give us a little background on your career, and then we'll get into Loud and Clear.
Sure. My foundation comes from journalism, actually, and taking what I've learned there in terms of really focused, concise, targeted writing and speaking, I parlayed that into helping corporations and industry associations really learn how to craft their message, their elevator speech, in a sense, to reach any critical audience. And that is the key now. The trends that I've spotted while I was writing the book and interviewing people really suggest that everything that we know intuitively, we are tired of being spoken to. We want to be included. We want transparency in our communication. So understanding that person's mentality before you start talking to that person is absolutely essential nowadays. The last 20 years or so, I've concentrated on really digging in, helping people analyze their audiences of 1 or 100, and helping them really achieve their goals, what they want, whether it is to persuade or to get a raise or to get more time off of work or family leave. It's all about persuasion.
Right. Well, perfect. And so I'm going to be a little selfish here because, again, I do a tremendous amount of media. We've helped a lot of people, but we're not helping enough. And so I'm looking at your book. You have Strategy for Putting on Your Best Show with Media Old and New.
Mm-hmm.
And share what you're bringing to folks with that comment.
When I'm talking about the media, I'm talking about, you know, stations such as yours. I'm talking about the new media, whether it's the blogosphere or Twitter, any place that you can get your voice heard. And an interesting phenomenon really is the blogging community. Anyone can be a publisher now. Anyone can be heard. their credibility has to be intact. You can't go out and make things up, but you don't have to wait to, you know, own a radio station, let's say, in order to be heard. In fact, one of the best ways to get your voice heard is to have a blog. So that's a fundamental shift. And where I come in is really helping them be as concise as possible. And let me just stay on this for a second, because there's a difference between oral communication and written communication. And okay. It's a fundamental issue with most people. People tend to write for the eye, meaning they write for whatever they want to say to be read. Not so. In email, in the blogosphere, it's really writing to be heard. That is, shorter sentences, more active words rather than passive words, more visually alive. You can't do a long wind-up to your point. So the written communication has taken a page from the oral communication book, and that would be the biggest tip I could give people today, I think.
Right, and I think that's fantastic. I've been asked to blog. One of the questions I have is, can you over-appear? Can you get yourself out too much and dilute yourself, or do you really feel the way to be heard loud and clear is to appear everywhere and be omnipresent? Do you want to kind of curtail it, or you want to let it all fly?
Well, you want to be strategic. You need to, everyone needs to figure out, you know, what's my target audience or audiences, and then have a plan. I do believe there is such a thing as overexposure, and pretty soon all your great messages become noise, and that's another fundamental shift in our communication. There's too much noise. There's too much communication clutter. So if I were to plot a plan for someone to get exposure, I would sit down with them. I'd say, okay, let's talk about who are your critical audiences. Make a list of them. How is the best way to reach XYZ audience? Is it through blogging? Is it through mainstream media? Is it through grassroots effort? Is it through public speaking? What? And then come up with the tactics to achieve that goal. And I think something should happen if it's a communication plan. Something should happen every month. Speaking at an industry conference, being on a program, you know, communicating your need, your mm-hmm. point of view. But every day, every week, we get awfully tired, awfully fast nowadays.
Right. I'm trying to listen, because when I heard about your reputation and your background, I said, man, this is something I need to dial into.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not a salesman anymore. I'm an investment company, and we have people kind of coming to us where they hear about us, they see the returns. But you have a strategy 5, your chapter, squashing out the no. Now, the olden days was about overcoming objections. Obviously,
yeah.
We're in a new world, and I want to hear your message here.
I think in terms of, let's talk about your field, in investments, it's going to be a knee-jerk reaction to no. People are so scared. What the best thing for people in the investment community who are trying to, you know, sell investments, let's say, hypothetically, mm-hmm. is to build trust. And that's going to take a little bit longer now than it did before. I believe this is an ideal time to buy. you know, stocks are cheap,
yeah.
but people are terrified, and rightly so on some level. But that doesn't mean you just start you do nothing. It is how to gain confidence that, let's say, that if you're talking to somebody, it would be, you know, on the conservative side, if it's going to be, bonds or CDs, whatever it is, to start slowly. I believe nowadays more than ever before we're skittish. I read somewhere that we are now appalled by spending, whereas we were so greedy and just so acquisitional that, you know, even I know many, many friends who've stopped, you know, getting manicures, stopped, you know, just stopped
right.
shopping altogether. That tends to be an American kind of a unique dynamic. It's either gray, there's no gray, that's either black or white. So I think gaining trust, and that's going to take, let's say years ago it took a month to gain trust. It's probably going to take 3 to 5 months to gain trust. Quietly, methodically, and cautiously. And I think that not only in investments, but maybe in every field now, we're bruised. And we have gotten a jolt now of excitement because of our new president. If people voted for him, if they didn't vote for him, maybe they're, you know, scared. Who knows? But the vast majority of the people in the country, I think, are optimistic. But that's not going to last too long because now we're going to be expecting too much. The key is go in with caution, quiet persuasion, not heavy-handed selling. And that would be my best tip, I think, for any salesperson nowadays in any field.
Right, and I couldn't agree more. Now, we're only going to have a couple more minutes on this segment. Mm-hmm. I was looking through your book. I see you make a home in New York. You actually uttered a phrase that I'm going to follow up with you personally because I think there's something really, really big out there about trust.
Mm-hmm.
And you might be just the one to help me get this done. But the point I want to get to now is there's a couple minutes left. You probably have a website. I know you're busy speaking and consulting. If you want
mm-hmm.
to give your website out, any contact information, and just as importantly, anything I didn't ask you that you think is critical you want to get across.
Oh, okay, well, thank you for that. I would love to hear from your listeners. My email is kberg@comcorestrategies.com, and Comcore is spelled with two M's, M as in mother, it's C-O-M-M-C-O-R-E, strategies, with plural, .com. My website is comcorestrategies.com. But I think people, we all kind of need a global support group right now. And
yep.
Because everyone's been burned on some level. So sticking together and building the trust collaboratively, I think, is just the great way to go.
Right, and I think that, you know, what I've said all along is that the money's out there. The trust is what actually is missing,
uh-huh.
and it's one of my missions right now. I've only started one company in my life. I couldn't sleep a couple months ago because I had an idea come into my head, and I'm not sure who can actually help me with the strategy. I think it's so big, but if trust can be brought back, business can happen more quickly, and I think that you touched on the central issue,
yeah.
Frankly, that there is, and I'm actually going to reach out to you, Karen.
Okay.
Maybe we'll meet and we'll see if we can help this country regain the trust that it really needs to go forward. I'll read your book cover to cover, and I want to just thank you so much for being on the show. Is there anything, any parting message you want to give people before we need to go to commercial?
The only thing I would suggest is before we open our mouth to say something that we think, is this going to be received by that person? Or are we going to talk down, talk over, talk through, and craft your message and what you want from somebody to meet the ability of that other person to get, receive, process, and do.
Right. Now, Karen, you just said very professionally what my wife likes to tell me, think before I talk.
Yeah.
Right?
That would be another way to say it.
All right. Well, listen, thanks so much for joining us. A great day, Ed, and I am going to reach out to you. I have some things I want to talk to you about, and thanks so much for joining us publicly, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Okay.
Folks,
I look forward to it. Take care now.
Great.
Bye-bye.
Folks, you are on Voice America Business. We need a commercial break here. I'm going to be right back. I saved the last time for myself. I want to wrap up. We got a lot to cover. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Stocks, bonds, 401ks, investments, refinancing. We can help you. Call now toll free, 866-472-5790, 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Self-leadership is more important than corporate leadership. In the hustle and bustle world we live in, we need to be reminded that in all failures and successes, we are the common denominators. Each week, let Daniel Gutierrez help bring you the tools you need to manage self-leadership, resulting in self-success. Make your mark in your industry. Make sure you listen to Right Here, Right Now. Brought to you by Waste Management. Every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Magnet Investment Group, LLC, is based in Randolph, New Jersey, and is a registered investment advisory firm providing wealth management for individuals and institutions. Magnet's investment strategy combines aspects of growth, value, and momentum investing to achieve superior long-term risk-adjusted returns. The group applies their proprietary Magnet stock selection process to a variety of client-specified benchmarks and risk tolerance levels. The group is led by Jordan Kimmel with over 20 years' experience in the securities field.
Is your job heavenly or closer to hell on earth? Maybe it's time you stop waiting on employers to make you satisfied and learn how to recognize your own career contentment. Jeff Garten and his expert guests show you how every Thursday at 12 noon Pacific when you tune in to Career Contentment Radio on the Voice America Business Radio Network. Contentment is yours to control and easier to achieve than happiness or satisfaction.
Sell, buy, sell. All we talk about is money. Talk to an expert. Call now. Call now. Toll free 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Now here's the host of Profitable Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back, everybody, and welcome to Profitable Investing. What I want to do here is spend a couple minutes wrapping up. I could actually summarize our guest for the whole segment because Karen Berg said some wonderful, wonderful things. And Bob Spira, again, one of the single most experienced investors and political knowledgeable guys I've ever met. What I want to share with you here is some things that are going to sound absolutely wacky to you, almost impossible to understand. And again, this business is so counterintuitive. In my first book, I likened investing to chess. Nobody, regardless of how brilliant you are, how smart or intuitive, nobody has ever won their first chess game. You can't. It's experience, it's knowledge, and then you learn as you go. And that's what the investing world is really all about. And one of the simple realities is when things feel and look good, the crowd loves to get involved. They all want to invest together. And the media is always, always behind the scenes reporting what happened, not what's about to happen. So if I was to say to you, the Investor's Business Daily, one of the probably the sharpest minds on Wall Street, is calling this stock market a bull confirmed market, you'd say, what are you talking about? Look at the overall weakness in this market. Now, yesterday, the day following the election, we saw a fast 500-point drop in the market, and I guess you'd have to say, well, everyone is now sobering up to the reality of Obama land. Well, interestingly enough, on the market bottom on October 10th, we saw 4,000 new lows, a washed out market, a market that we saved the newspaper to remind everybody in years later what the bottom actually looks like. In yesterday's 500 point rout, we saw a total of 75 new lows. And when you actually break it down and look for stocks that actually trade above $10 and are real companies, you only have a handful. And I'm looking through the list right now. I don't think I could find a handful. You also saw a drop on very, very light volume. Now, I just finished writing my next book. It's over at Wiley. I just poured through my old files looking for both winners and losers from my past that our clients have enjoyed, some stocks that ranked up high that we ended up selling quickly because we got stopped out on them. The whole point here is to invest with no ego. Now, I'm going to be very bold here like I like to be. I said on this new group called StockNewsNow.com that asked me to start appearing regularly the day, right before the election. I said you'll see an immediate sell-off following the election. People will be calling for new lows on the market, and it won't happen. It will stop before there. It will hit a higher bottom, and then it will hit a higher top. And then all of a sudden, money begins to come out of the sidelines because they hate to miss an opportunity. That any real experienced investor has to acknowledge that the overall market has gotten cheap. The overall market is being dominated by fear. This is when you get your values. But like I said before, if you dig a little deeper and find individual companies that are dominating their niche, I take the Warren Buffett approach. Investing through cycles of bad news, investing through recessions, letting the market do whatever the heck it wants to do. As long as, even taking a step further, Buffett will stay with companies that have gone bad. He owns newspapers that have gone bad. How can I knock him? He's the world's greatest investor. We don't do that. If our companies slow down and they lose their growth, and they don't have revenue acceleration, and they don't continue accelerating their margins, we have a much smaller portfolio. We could just cut bait and go fishing elsewhere, which is what we do. We insist on only owning the most highly ranked companies. Now, I got to admit there's a little parental pride, but I have some kids at home who defy what we hear is America right now. We hear that America is fat, lazy, they don't do their homework, a bunch of slobs, we can't compete in the global market anymore. And that might describe some people out there and some kids out there. But what I've said again, if you take the hundreds of millions of people around the world, they fall into a bell curve. 90% of them are average. There's plenty below average. They can't keep a job. They can't wake up in the morning. Whatever deficiencies they have. And then all the way over on the right tip of the bell curve, there's the few individuals in every generation that actually make a difference. So in the 1860s, there was only a few, and we know their names now, of course, because they changed the world, and many lived and died in obscurity and did nothing. But going forward, we will see advancements in alternative energies, in medicine, in medical diagnostics. I was just reading through Time Magazine's top 50 inventions of last year. If you were to ask Rafael Nadal, how's the economy? I'll say, actually, for Rafael, it's pretty darn good. If you'd ask Roger Federer, how's the world treating you these days? He'd probably say, pretty darn good. If you asked somebody else in a methadone rehab program, how's life? They'd probably say, the president's a piece of crap and he ruined my life. Or you got the message, folks. What you need to do is dial in on the superlatives, understand we are in a fear-driven environment. I met with a consultant for S&P the other week. He had no idea even the size of the stock market. The stock market capitalization peaked out last year in 07 at $60 trillion. The bond market's bigger than the stock market. The cash market's out there. The real estate market. We're not hearing that 30% of all homes in America are owned outright with no mortgage. We don't hear the fact that there's really a relatively small percentages of people living in homes behind on their mortgage payments. If you bought six condos with the intent on flipping them with no money down and you're underwater, well, welcome to America, folks. But that's not the majority. Highways are crowded with people who wake up and go to work every day. And again, I like to mention, if you threw it wide open and told the rest of the world, get online, you can have a Social Security number, pay taxes, and live in the United States, How long would that line look? Well, it would wrap around the equator over and over again. So I think you need to think long term. You need to remember you buy when there's blood on the street. And more importantly than just buying stocks, you have to identify the ones on the tip of the bell curve dominating your niche. And if you can make it through this environment, think of what happens when people actually come off the sidelines. So there are companies out there. This is not easy. Nobody ever said it was. And the beautiful part is, folks, if it was easy, there'd be no need for Jordan Kimmel of Profitable Investing. So let me wish you a balanced week ahead. Stay positive. Give us a phone call, but go to magnetinvesting.com. Watch our recent webinar and give me a call. Let us know how we can help you. And the first three callers are going to get a copy of my book, Complimentary. Give us a call at 888-766-6828. We'll see you right here next week on Profitable Investing. See you then. Bye.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Tune in for another exciting hour of Profitable Investing right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.